Wizard Magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics.
Okay.
Episode 459.
Oh, bother.
I asked Dave if he was, you know, ready, and he just kind of went, yeah. I'm like, where's Dave from last week with all the excitement? Oh, and
you,
it's just not
the,
here.
You
so
want
it,
the excitement?
No, I just brought everybody down, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean to do that. Yeah. Let's go. Let's do this podcast.
It's okay. So, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
I'm Dave.
Pat.
Brandon.
Ooh. Spencer.
You gotta bring it.
Pat's bringing the energy tonight. I like it. Okay. So we have a question. It's one of the things I want to talk about.
Okay.
Zach asks us, were retailers made aware of the Harley Quinn Fortnite skin code being included in the Batknight Fortnite comic? I heard that interest spiked on that comic after it became known, but I wonder if you guys were blindsided by that.
You damn skipping.
We weren't blindsided by it. I knew there was a code in it. The
you
thing
didn't know it was a skin code, though.
Well, that means nothing to me. That's the problem.
I've got a dirty mind.
Right, but I'm saying that means nothing to me. I asked my son if people were still playing Fortnite, and he said no. He and his friends quit years ago because he used to play it a ton. So I'm going, okay, not a lot of love for Fortnite. Marvel did a Fortnite thing where they had an extra page in some issues. Nobody cared. Nobody wanted it. So I look this as a Batman book set in the Fortnite world.
With some G.I. Joe.
Well, and then it was weird because instead of the normal way they solicit books, it was just in an email on a Friday, hey, we're doing this Batman Fortnite book, order it. And it was right after the Comics Pro meeting. It felt very rushed because they said we had to order the first three,
which is always a red flag
because it means the art's done. Why, what was this? It screamed to me that this was a digital project that they realized after the Comics Pro meeting that we might be upset if they didn't offer it to us as a print version.
Yeah.
So judging by like the Truth and Justice miniseries that they're doing right now and other digital first series, there is no demand for that stuff. It's real throwaway stuff that nobody seems to really care about. The other thing that went through my mind was I did know there was a code for something in it, but that code would also be in the digital version. And if you're already playing a digital game, why wouldn't you just download the digital version, install the code? Why would you come buy a $5 comic to then go home and enter the code number?
Yeah.
So there was nothing about this that sounded interesting. Batman wakes up on this island where Fortnite takes place and has to figure things out. Okay, it's yet another Batman book. Not exactly, and it wasn't a big creative team. Just to give you an example of why I'm worried people are Batmaned out, Batman the Detective by Tom Taylor and Andy Kubert came out last week, and I sold half of what I ordered.
And that book's good.
Future State way underperformed as far as the Batman books. The other ones did well, but the Batman books, I ordered half normal Batman numbers and sold half of that.
They were not good, though.
Right. But so I'm going, here's yet another Batman book. People are a little bit overwhelmed. They're Batmaned out.
But I got to wonder, are they Batmaned out or is it, we don't know what's coming out anymore.
Right. Well, this was even worse because it wasn't in the DC Connect. It was nowhere other than this email to us. When FOC came and it was time for me to order, guess how many holds I had for this book?
Goose egg.
None. So how do I order a book that I have no pre-orders for? That tells me there's no interest.
Or no one knows about it.
Right. But, again, it's a $5 book with a $6 variant. Now, they did do something that was a whole lot of fun, where they did offer it returnable. Well, they spent most of their email was based on the bizarre solicit that I didn't understand because I don't play Fortnite. Then pushing a team variant where if you order 150 copies, you can get this special variant.
So you didn't order 150
copies? I did not. I did not. But that also says to me they're expecting low orders and they're looking for a way to boost them.
Yeah.
Okay? So, you know, all these...
You've been doing this long enough.
Right. All these lessons we've learned of what the publishers do to try to bump numbers when they have a less than stellar product. So all these things are just saying red flag to me. The next point is the new head of DC Comics came over from eSports, which is World of Warcraft, Fortnite, that kind of stuff. So this read as a peace offering to him or just to make him happy. So nothing about this scream, this is going to be big in demand product. So I ordered 5. I was also kind of sending a message saying, we don't want this kind of product. This is not how we do things. You've circumvented, not only did you change the way we order product with your whole Lunar UCS thing, you're now circumventing even that process and having us order outside of that. It gets a little bit better today, too. So, no idea how to order it. I just kind of said, you know what? I'm taking a pass. You know, I'm not taking a chance on this. Because
it's a $5 book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, then we also have to order number 2, number 3, and number 4 before the book lands today. So, and number 3 has snake eyes in it. Like that, we're going to order a ton of number 3s. Why? My G.I. Joe fans aren't going to buy this Batman Fortnite book. So.
Well, at least you know what the skin's going to be for number 3.
If they can DC sell a snake eyes skin?
They're not doing it. It's the company that...
I get it, but...
I'm sure they can.
So then my... So, you know, that's even another signal when you have to order the first 4 before you see the sales of number 1.
Yeah.
That's another signal that they're trying to force something out. So I had, no confidence in this book. Upload the invoice on last Thursday. Check... When I get the app orders, sometimes I'll check to make sure I have enough coming.
Yeah.
You know, I'll look to see what the person's ordering, and I can then click a button that says check. So I got an app order Sunday for it. I checked. At that point, that was my second pre-order for it on Sunday of the 5.
Okay.
All of a sudden, Monday afternoon, I guess the Fortnite company started promoting it. And everything went nuts. All of a sudden, everybody had to have this book. Well, that's great.
But you can't...
I have 5. It's we had to order the second print 3 weeks ago. I ordered 1. I'm like, I don't know that I need more. You know, it's just goofy. Oh, wait. One other thing I forgot. They did offer it returnable. In mint condition.
Which you don't get mint condition when they show up.
Their own distributor does not consider cover tears or crunched corners as unsellable. So our question then is, so they could send us books that they don't consider damaged, yet won't take them back because they're not mint. Well, they clarified last night, after we've ordered the first 4 of a 6-issue series, that what they meant by mint was unopened bag. So that it still had the code.
So that's all they had to say was on open.
Right. It's like, there's a slight difference there, Chief. And lots of people had raised that issue on the message board since they no longer talk to us. And no one from them had responded that I saw. I didn't keep reading the threads because who cares? So all of a sudden yesterday, all hell breaks loose. Everybody,
it's too late.
Everybody and their mother suddenly needs this book. The problem there is nobody needs the book.
They need the code.
They need the code. So I am not in the habit of selling digital codes for online games. So I have no idea how to order that, let alone this book coming. We had to order those the end of February, I believe. Now, and being unable to order more. So it was one of those, what the hell do I do? So just everybody starts calling. And it's, you know, of course, all these people you've never heard of before. Calling, looking for this book. No, nobody has it. And no, everybody under order. Even Ryan Higgins way under ordered it. So if he didn't have confidence in it, as Mr. DC.
Yeah, that's the barometer.
Why would I have confidence in this book? So, and then there's some retailers on, oh, I knew it was going to be huge because our gaming community. It's like, okay, I don't have a gaming community.
Right, but if you have that,
how am I supposed to know that other than asking someone that I know that plays Fortnite if they would be interested, and he said no. So, I did not take into account the skin and that it would be a Harley skin, which still makes it weird that all these guys want to make their characters Harley, but whatever. So, but then here comes the problem. How is number, well, and number two and number three are already sold out. Today, we get an email saying they're going back to a third print on number one, a second prints on two and three, that both, none of which are arriving until June, which adds a whole nother aspect because in June, you'll be able to go and buy the skin in the game. So are they going to want the comics now when they can buy it directly in the game?
Yeah, I wouldn't think
so. And we had up until 3 o'clock today on Wednesday to increase our orders on number 4. And someone brought up it's New Comic Book Day, and they said, no, it's not. Tuesday is New Comic Day. To which every retailer went, Oh, yeah. Okay.
And the horse you rode in on.
Exactly. So, yeah, they're not winning any friends in this. And it's just been a pain. Tim's dealt with it all day. I dealt with it all day yesterday. Just the phone calls. I'm looking
yeah,
for this book.
Yeah, I've heard a couple phone calls. Yeah. You're not going to find it.
You're not going to find it. Nobody has this book. Because if they were smart and they knew what they had, they would have overshipped. They would have overprinted. They would have done something. But they chose not to take a position, knowing exactly what they had, knowing the marketing, everything like that. We had no idea. You know, why didn't they promote this 3 weeks ago? Call the stores, order it when we had a chance to actually do something about it. Promoting it the day before it comes out. I get it. You have to figure out when to do it. But this is a perfect example of.
But they could have even said, hey, retailers, there's going to be a blitz from the Fortnite company 2 days before.
Right.
You're going to want to get ahead of this.
But all they gave us was the solicit that you guys read, which meant nothing to me, not being a Fortnite person. And yes, the language of the skin was in there, but how about something saying, hey, 5.8 billion people play this game, and it generates this much income, and skins are important. It's all these things that it's like they forgot they're selling the books to us, middle-aged men who don't play Fortnite. So,
well, the guys that want to be Harley Quinn do.
Right, but they want to buy it from us. We didn't know to order.
No, I know,
one. So it's just like people are like stores are blaming DC. I'm not blaming DC. I just think they could have done a better job explaining or pitching that they didn't do because, like I said, it wasn't even in the regular previews. It was an afterthought, and everything about it screamed afterthought to me.
Well, but again, I can't even say you left money on the table.
No, I sold all my copies. I made my money.
Well, no, but I mean, okay, so maybe you could have doubled your order and ordered 10.
Right.
But at some point, you're not going to sell more. And
right. And then the risk of, being stuck with books or, yes, they're returnable. What if they reject them? You know, it was just such an unknown.
Sort of the speculators.
And the other thing is, video game books typically do not sell at all. Even like the Batman Arkham stuff did not sell at all. So it's like you have a track record of video games books not selling, so we have no reason to think that. And then everybody's like, oh, the skin. I'm like, okay. Explain that to me. You know? So. But yeah, that was the Fortnite fun. So, and then will they be back for issue 2? Who knows? Too late. I can't order more. I can order second prints. That'll show up in June.
Yeah.
Will they want them in June?
Probably not, because they can order the skins themselves.
Right. So that just, it's just, and of course the second prints aren't returnable. So that's when everybody's going to go, oh my gosh, I need second prints. And then all of a sudden, everybody's like, oh no, sorry, don't need it now.
Yeah,
now
you're home.
Right.
And that makes no sense, because if you make the first one returnable, you're going to go heavy on number one. But what if you sold all the number? You're not going to go the same number.
Well, each issue is returnable, but not the second prints.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just, put me in a foul mood. And I had a call late last week from the new guy from, who used to be the old guy at Valiant, who I knew, who's now left Valiant to take over the job at Penguin Random House for doing Marvel. And that was fun because he called to check in and I explained all my concerns and problems with it. And he didn't have an answer. And I think he definitely understood what I was saying and just kind of, it left him, huh. I'm like, I'm losing a lot of discount points. You're adding to my workload, both with orders, reorders, and receiving the product. And you're giving me nothing to offset this.
Right.
It's the same product. So it's more expensive, more time consuming. And where's my benefit? So it was fun because I'm like, well, the problem is, so I use the money I make on Marvel to pay the bills, but also it lets me carry books like Valiant that I make minimal money on. You know, if I sell 20 or if I sell 10 copies of a Valiant book, I make $20. Okay, yeah. I could make $20, you know, pricing, you know, half a short box of back issues and sticking them on a table. So. Yeah. I'm like, so if, by doing this, I'm going to have, I figured out it's about, it came off of last year's numbers, about $9,200 spend more on Marvel Comics than I did that year on the same amount.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so that money's got to come somewhere. So basically all the small publishers, I'm going to have to stop ordering because every book that's small publisher I take a chance on that doesn't sell.
Yeah.
I can't take that chance anymore. So I'm, you know, have to limit, and I'm also going to limit my Marvel orders. You know, do I really need that graphic novel? You know, do I, you know, when MODOK gets collected, do I really need that graphic novel on the shelf? Probably not.
No, not when you sold four of them.
Do I need to reorder a lot of trades that I sell? So, no, so I'm going to order less Marvel. So that's kind of, it's going to be cyclical for them.
Yeah.
Because their books are more expensive now, I'm going to order less. You know, I can make more money selling an Image book or a Dark Horse book than I can selling a Marvel book.
Yeah.
So why would I focus, you know, or even, you know, look more at Aftershock where the first issue is returnable. Look at Vault where they're all returnable.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take chances on them and push them before I push a Marvel book because
yeah.
They're making more work and costing me more money. So that was a fun day. All this stuff going through my head. It's like, why am I doing this again? When my publishing partners are not exactly treating me as a partner, so. Yeehaw. There was a bit of news today that I did see.
Blue and Gold.
Blue and Gold is back. A little concerned about that, but I'll talk about that off the podcast.
I didn't see that.
Dan Jurgens is doing a new miniseries with Booster Gold and Blue Beetle, the original Blue Beetle, not the Jaime Reyes?
Yeah.
Version.
Not the one in the weird suit.
Right. The classic Blue and Gold. So that'll be fun. Tom Taylor is doing a new Superman book. They're ending the current Superman book and starting a new Superman book.
Oh, so I thought it was like Detective or Dark Knight Detective.
No, it's they're starting Superman with a new number one, and it's going to be John.
Yeah, it's
instead of Clark, because they're killing Clark off,
I realized,
and John's taking over.
They're killing
Superman off?
I don't know. I glanced at that. I just thought, oh, they're doing a Jonathan Kent series, calling it Superman.
I don't think so, because he said he's the new Superman writer, and they're ending the regular season in July. So.
Right, but there's a Superman Kal-El book coming out. It's him with the Authority.
Yeah, now that's Morrison. That's a four-issue mini.
Yeah.
Morrison doing Superman and the Authority. That's tying into the Superman Worlds of War Future State book.
How do you order that?
Yeah. Thank you.
Because, like...
And then there's a new Supergirl book coming from Tom King. How do you order that? Supergirl always sold between 12 and 15 copies, but Tom King. So it's like they're switching, oh, we have too many Batman books? Well, let's do a bunch of Superman books then. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
But it's not a Superman book. It's a Jonathan Kent book.
Right, but Superman family book.
Yeah, but...
I know. But it's the new...
How well did Batman sell?
Yeah, Superman family does not... It doesn't have the same...
No. I just mean the family of books. Like the Bat family books.
I know what you're saying. But, like, I think the Bat family... You can make a Robin book, and it'll sell way better than...
Yeah. No, absolutely. Superman absolutely.
Family,
absolutely.
Because, like, what did those Lois Lane and Jimmy Olsen books sell? Those were
big
writers.
Okay.
They did okay.
Yeah, because it was good, the creative teams.
So right. I would expect this Tom Taylor book to sell like those two.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
Not his main Superman title.
So that was news. I didn't see anything on a Marvel tip this week.
There's something about Brian Hitch. That he's not exclusive.
Oh, okay. He used to be DC exclusive.
Yeah, he's not. He's going to do, I think, a Spider-Man book or something.
So what's the new X-Men book?
Yes. X-Men is, I was listening to the podcast, I don't know if we talked about it. They're relaunching X-Men with a new number one.
And it's Jerry Duggan.
Jerry Duggan and Pepe Larraz?
Yeah.
But
he'll only be on it for two issues.
Right.
Like don't even just cra- don't I'm even like,
read so, the so you're restarting the whole X-Universe again.
I don't think they're restarting it. I think it's still going to have Krakoa. I think it's still going to do
right. Action. No, not
but
that.
It's more like the right now the X-Men team isn't like formed.
Right.
I think they're going, oh, we're going to form the team, and this is our new number one, okay. So it can be more superhero-y. But I think it's still in continuity and
okay.
Stuff like that.
But
yeah.
Hickman now.
Race
relations are
Hickman,
perfect.
Hickman, I guess,
that,
is
so.
Off X-Men now.
So he started all this, and then was just like, all right, bye.
Yeah. But, wow. See, I thought he had a new book.
I don't know.
That's like the title unannounced.
Oh, maybe. But I thought it was funny.
Yeah,
I was on the.
Yeah, there was like a solicit, and there was like a. Like a, you know, classified.
Okay, maybe he's finally doing the Moira book. But it's funny listening to Jerry Duggan talking about something. He's like, oh, well, and that's going to be a year two plot point or something. I'm like, year two, okay. Out of two? You know,
yeah,
the way you're going, you know, this is ending at issue 24 or whatever, so.
Because we're almost 2 years into this X-Men run now. We're at least 18 months, right?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, because I think like Excalibur 19 came out and stuff. Yeah. So, yeah.
And you know, I kind of, that's the miniseries before that, too. So that would have been a couple, you know.
Yeah.
So before that.
And I keep misreading planet-sized X-Men as plant-sized X-Men. So.
Which would make sense.
Exactly. Because of Krakoa and the plants and everything. So, yeah, every time I read that, I read it as plant-sized.
Yeah, I got that email.
I'm like, that is not as cool.
I got that email from you.
I just sent it to everybody getting X-Men. I'm like, you're probably going to want this because it ties in.
I didn't know it existed. Yeah. So. And I somewhat follow Marvel on social media.
So, and that also just gives me numbers to order it by. So, because I'm working on the order right now. Because, by the way, the previews order is due tomorrow. Ah! A week earlier than I expected, so.
Is that the plant size one $8?
I think it was six.
Okay,
six. Yeah, not good. Awful. So I think that's all I got as far as news. I don't remember something. I got something from Vault today. I got like four different emails from them about something. I'm like, do not send emails on Wednesday morning. Not a great time. I see him in passing as I'm looking for other things, like hold me a copy of those kind of emails. So, let's start. Spencer, why don't you start this week?
Man,
we'll talk about some comical books.
All right.
Cut him off guard. He wasn't ready.
Yeah, no.
Sorry, I'm not trying to be mean.
I didn't have my list up. Batman Urban Legends number 2. This is that anthology series. First story was the Red Hood story, where he is taking care of this kid whose mom is in the hospital because she overdosed on like this new drug that's out there that the kid's father is also like he was either like help making it or dealing it or whatever, so. In the previous issue, Red Hood had tracked him down, and they got into an argument, and in a thing of anger, he shot him and killed him. So now this kid is potentially orphaned, depending on how his mother pulls through or not. So Jason is struggling with, like, if the mother doesn't make it, should he try to decide to take care of this kid? And stuff like that, since he was the one who, like, orphaned him, and Batman shows up, and they get into a big argument, and then they start fighting, and, like, the kid, steps in front of Batman so he would, like, stop hitting Red Hood, and, trying to protect him and stuff like that. And then there was a one-off story that involved Barbara Gordon... It was like an Oracle kind of story, but she was had to like go out on the town to try to find this hacker. So she made like this like makeshift kind of costume. Because for some reason she couldn't do it like in the bell tower. She had to like be like roaming or something to try to like find her. It was an okay story. Then there was a second part of the Batman or the Outsiders series where Katana something happens. The people that are fighting are able to steal her husband's soul from her sword. So her the family of her husband, you know, they find this out and, you know, they aren't too happy with it about that. And, cause this also plays, off of the previous, Outsider series where it's like, Katana and Black Lightning kind of have, like a relationship kind of brewing there. It was an okay series. It had Metamorpho in it, so that automatically, you know, gives it at least a 7 or an 8, you know, just out of that. So that was pretty good. And then the last story was the Drifter story, where he's being a bodyguard for Lucius Fox and. This one I can't really remember how it ended, but you know, just a kind of normal grifter story, a lot of fighting and shooting and stuff like that. And then I'll go with Spider-Man Spider Shadow number one. This is the first in like a kind of like a what if series from Chip Zdarsky, and it's basically what if Spider-Man never took off the black costume, symbiote costume. So it's I liked it. It showed a lot of like the costume messing, like giving him nightmares when he was sleeping and, you know, taking over his body while he was trying to sleep and stuff like that, and really messing with his mind. And he eventually goes, you know, to Mr. Fantastic to try to get him to get the suit to run some tests on it. And they tell him about it, and he's, you know, he doesn't want to get it taken off because the only time he actually ever feels okay is when he has a suit on, because during like that time, like Aunt May wasn't talking to him because he just dropped out of college and stuff like that. He's just having a real low period, so the only time he felt good or like normal was with the costume. And then towards the end of the issue, he's really starting to kind of feel bad, and then so he goes to see Aunt May, and she lets him in. And they're talking and stuff, and they're kind of starting to make up a little bit. And then a big explosion happens. Earlier in the issue, he fights a hobgoblin, and he kind of humiliates him and, like, unmasks him and stuff like that. So he's getting back at Spider-Man and, like, pumpkin bombs the house. And the house eventually ends up, like, exploding, and it's on fire. And, you know, Spider-Man tries to go and save Aunt May, but the costume won't let him because of the fire. The fire hurts the costume. So it stops him. So Spider-Man starts to get, you know, he's real angry. So he goes to the Hobgoblin, and he starts, you know, just beating the crap out of him. I can't remember if he actually kills him or not. But if he doesn't, it's really close. Did anybody else? Did you read that?
I didn't read that. I was just gonna say that I remember. So Mr. Fantastic couldn't get the costume off.
Well, no, but Peter didn't want him to. Yeah,
I remember the original. That's how.
Yeah,
he got it off. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was like that kind of setup. But he didn't want him to get the costume, man. Okay. And they kind of get into a fight, and and leave and stuff like that. But yeah, it's definitely cool. I've been liking these Chip Zdarsky like Spider-Man miniseries that he's been doing. They've been pretty good. And then I'll talk about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Jenica, the second series. This is the last issue of this miniseries. So the mob boss who is who got turned into like the gazelle kind of creature that Jenica was helping to try to pass notes back and forth to her son earlier in the series. She has Jenica kidnapped, and she wants Jenica to be like her kind of like lead assassin and to train other people in her mob like empire so they can, you know, are able to take out, you know, anybody that tries to mess with them and that kind of stuff. And Jenica doesn't want to do that. But the mom threatens to hurt her son, who she's kind of had this, you know, started to have this connection with. So Jenica agrees that she'll help her just so she won't hurt her son. And so they leave, and the son ends up sneaking back, and they end up talking. And, because whenever Jenica was still just a normal, just a foot soldier before Splinter took over, she killed the son's father because he was a mob boss and was getting in the way of the Foot Clan. So she was the one who killed him, and they had kind of have a talk about that a little bit, and you know, explains how she's like not that person. She, you know, trying to make up for that kind of stuff and, you know, and that kind of stuff. And they end up, you know, kind of getting over it. They come up with a plan to free Jenica. And they get into a fight. And then I think she gets a hold of the boy again. And then so she, Jenica, gets them to go into the, they go to leave. Her and the boy leave, and they jump into the sewer, try to get away, and they follow. And then, so they walk in the sewer a little bit, and then they see another manhole cover that they think that they went out of. So, but when they go out, they're outside of Mutant Town. They're like in the middle of New York. So like the police and like the feds and stuff that are keeping an eye on that spot and put them away into like you know, into like a Supermax kind of prison thing. So I was able to work out okay. And then the kid's gonna go live with April's parents out in the farmhouse until they can kind of find a more permanent solution for him, since the mother's going to jail now. And then everything else I think other people read, so somebody else can go next.
Sorry.
All right. I read Rorschach number 7.
Yeah, I read that.
It had Frank Miller in it.
Yeah, I don't know how I saw that.
Frank Miller is Rorschach.
I guess, well, one of the Rorschachs.
Well, so the what's his name? The one that died, the one that was based on Ditko.
Yeah.
Or Ditko.
Yeah.
What am I thinking?
Ditko coached the Bears.
Yeah, coach of the Bears.
Colin, you should have been right all over that line.
I misheard.
He's occupied right now.
Yeah, so he, they had I'll just call them the comic book writers. They had a seance, which I guess is a true story. I guess that's something that Frank Miller actually happened to him when he was a young writer. He went to a seance, and they have this tape recorder that they ask questions, and then they just sit there silently, and you know, you're supposed to be able to hear answers in the black noise, so, or white noise. Thank you. he went to the Frank Miller went to that with the Steve Ditko character and another guy. And so they have the seance, they do the thing, and he kind of left and never thought about it again. But then years later, the Steve Ditko character comes back to him with the cowgirl. What's her name? I can't remember.
The kid is. Yeah. It's called the
kid. Rawhide girl?
Something.
Something like that. Anyway, they knock on his door and they're like, you know, this seance thing works. Here's the tape that gives the... you know, the commands from Dr. Manhattan, and, you know, if anything happens to us, you know, this isn't safe hands with you.
And yeah, because they say, like, the white noise is, like, kind of like Dr. Manhattan, like, shooting messages from Mars.
That's what they think. They think it's Dr. Manhattan talking to them, because they're still under the impression that they're under attack from
the squid
invasion. So, the Columbo character shows up at the door because Frank Miller is the one who gave him the letters, even though Frank didn't read them for some reason. He just thought that guy should have them. So, Columbo shows up, and Frank Miller tells him everything. He plays the tape for him. It's just a complete gibberish. But he says, you hear it? And then it's... you know, he says that it's kill Turley. So the whole reason that they attempted to murder Turley, the presidential candidate, was because they heard it on a tape that they thought Dr. Manhattan was speaking to them. So it's very like it's very QAnon, like that's I think that's where he's, you know, riffing from. But when I read this, I kind of thought, like, this is not a good portrayal of, like, it's not a favorable portrayal of Frank Miller.
No. Okay.
Right? But I think Frank Miller is probably okay with this. Like, he probably knows the...
yeah.
Like, he probably heard the pitch. Because in this, they make him seem like a a crazy... person.
Yeah, because at first, before they say who it is, I was like, that guy kind of looks like Frank Miller. And he's like, hey, I'm Frank Miller. And I was like, okay. This is weird.
So. But yeah, it's definitely out there. It's super inside baseball, right? If you don't know who Frank Miller is, this is going to go right over your head.
Yeah, I'm going to say most of the people reading this probably
if you're reading
know.
Rorschach, you probably are going to get that, but, yeah.
I wonder what his plan would have been if he said no. Like, you know, if he... I guess they just had to make some fake guy that, you know...
Oh, they probably would have had, you know... Brank Filler or something.
Yeah.
You know. Because they didn't... Because... And that's why I think Miller is probably okay with it, because Miller, they're using his name.
Yeah, they're using his name.
Ditko, they're
like
using
an analog.
So.
Just wait till they get to Alan Moore.
Colin, you have the remote? Or?
No.
No, it's behind you.
Can you see it? Let's see it.
You can do it. Come on. I have confidence in you.
Where is it? You may have to slide your chair up.
Oh.
It's on the cord. Brandon's having trouble finding the off switch for the open side.
It's supposed to be Bluetooth.
Yeah. There's no way.
There's no way you could find that on the cord?
Okay. Well, not that I could reach it. But
you're not allowed to sit there anymore, then. That's the rule.
Right.
No more comfy chair for you.
I thought you had this on the app.
The app, a $15 open sign on an app? Sure.
Everything is Bluetooth now.
Okay.
Tell Alexa to turn it off at 8. Anyway.
Or slide the chair up and learn to turn it off.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
Very complicated switch.
I could set up an Alexa.
Rorschach.
I think we're done talking about Rorschach,
okay.
Aren't we? Batman Detective?
I think that's what it's called. Or is it... Yeah, then. Yeah. The Detective, I think.
Is it The Detective?
Yes, The Detective.
This was really good. I don't know. The thing that stands out to me is Batman's flat top. Like, Bruce Wayne does not look like Bruce Wayne in this. When they first got to that page, I was like...
My favorite part in it where he's standing with his jacket... And the jacket has a huge tail like a cape, and it's blowing out at a really odd angle. And then the next shot is from him from a different angle, and it's still blowing at the exact same angle. I'm like, wow, it's like stuck in that position.
But
I was not a fan of this one.
Really? I like this a lot with the white Batmans. I don't know what you... Do they name them at all?
No.
But it's this army of... people who are, they are going after all of the people that Batman saved because they're trying to bring, what they call it, equilibrium, something like that. So, you know, I'd call it a cult of this cult of Batmans. They wear white cowls and they bring down a plane full of people that Batman has saved in the past. So Batman's now on the case looking for them to stop them. I don't know. I the art is good. It's a really beefy Batman.
Mm-hmm.
It's like old Batman, but not like really old Batman.
Yeah,
right?
It's like he's not quite Dark Knight. It's more like, you know, I don't know, like 40-year-old Batman instead of our regular like 30-year-old Batman. But I don't know. I liked it. It's pretty... It's a mini-series, so it's like... If this was part of an ongoing and I was going to get 50 issues of this, I probably wouldn't be cool with it. But just for, like, you know... Just to be additive, whatever they're calling this.
Just my problem with it was you had... Knight was on the plane, and she tries to stop the...
And I had no idea who Knight is.
Knight and Squire. I think that's the former Squire who graduated to Knight or something.
And they're kind of like the Batman and Robin of
England.
Yeah, they're like in the Batman Incorporated and stuff even before that.
But so she's fighting the two flight attendants before they jump off the plane, and then the one grabs her leg and says, "You're going to come with us." She then falls with that person all the way to the ground without the parachute opening, hit the ground from however high the airplane was. Then the other guy walks up and shoots her, yet the next time you see her, she's in the hospital. And I'm like, she survived a fall from thousands of feet without a parachute and then being shot point blank by a guy, and yet she's fine. I'm like, huh?
Throw some dirt in it, you'll be all right.
Yeah, she had like a small bandage on her face. I'm like... What did I miss here? You know, how did the guy coming to murder you miss?
Yeah, they did that.
You know, when the whole scene was, she's looking, you know, they're showing the gun and then bam. Yeah. So I found that weird.
They did the thing that I hate in Batman books where he gets to the scene of the crime, he gets to the wreck of the plane, and he's just like, "You can come out, I know you're there."
Yeah.
And he's like, "How'd you know?" And they're just like, "Oh, you're Batman."
Yeah.
Like, that's... Like, Batman shouldn't...
And then he just happens to put on these anti-ghost gloves.
Which I was wondering. One of the things I was going to ask, is that from the Tom Taylor... Because I was...
He referenced where he got... He got them from Hellblazer.
Yeah, he got them from Constantine.
Yeah, but it wasn't in the Constantine.
Oh, see, I was thinking that was a reference. No, I was like, is this like... No. Is there like a Tom Taylor verse starting here?
But then all of a sudden he starts fighting Gentleman Ghost. It's like, who's not Gentleman Ghost? He's this big creature, ugly monster thing. And it was just like, what? That made no sense to me whatsoever.
I like the randomness of
it. But how did that tie in with this group of... And anarchist, you know, that they just what?
But and that's what you have 6 issues. Maybe we'll figure it out.
Maybe.
But but they were saying the reason he was there is because he is attracted to like
fear.
Well, and people were afraid as shit when they before they hit the ground. So that makes some sense.
Okay.
But I also like at the beginning when he's carrying out the two suitcases.
Yeah.
It's like okay, so everything he needs for this mission is in those two suitcases.
Magically.
Yeah, and but and part of the things that he packed are the
ghost gloves that he knew to put on before. Yeah.
That's right up there with the shark repellent in the helicopter.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. I thought it was good. I liked it.
Okay.
What else did I read? I read Homesick Pilots.
Oh, I'm two behind now. No.
Okay. Do you want me to spoil that one?
No, don't spoil, because that was the last issue, wasn't it? Or is there one more?
That is the last issue of the first arc.
Okay, yeah, don't spoil it. I do want to read that.
So, I did not see this coming whatsoever.
Okay.
That's all I'll say about it. It dramatically shifts in tone. I'll probably pick up the next issue, but the first couple issues were very creepy. This is not. This is like total opposite.
Bye, Tim.
Bye, Tim.
But yeah, if you read it, you'll definitely you'll say what at some point. Lock and Key.
Read
Sandman.
That. Holy crap! I read that.
That was super good. So one of the things with the Lock and Key series, I've read a bunch of it, but I haven't read all of it. Mm-hmm. Am I supposed to know who that blonde girl is?
Read the inside of the cover.
Okay.
It explains everything.
Okay.
This is following up the last mini series.
Right.
The one set in World War One.
Yeah, the boy who goes old, he goes older so he can be in World War One, and he ends up...
Right, that's his sister.
Yeah.
I
figured as much.
Yeah, but yeah, I just read that and I got the full recap and then went into it.
Yeah.
The first page where they show Sandman, holy crap, the art on that was spectacular.
And it was different.
Yeah, it wasn't the same style.
Yeah,
had to look to see if that was a different artist. Yeah, that was...
It felt like they pulled it out of like a, a 90s Vertigo book.
Yeah, like a Charles Vest drawing or something. It was amazing.
And... This definitely, I think, is like in continuity with the first Sandman trade, where he's
trapped. Yeah, absolutely. But basically, this girl's brother has died. Dad is dying of cancer and trying to save him, and trying to use the keys to get him back, and nothing's working. So she hears that. The guy from Sandman, I'm blanking on his name, and I do apologize.
Well, she doesn't know what he is when she goes. She just hears that...
She hears that he has...
Some magic
something.
Being. Yeah.
And his dad had also gone and made an offer. Mm-hmm. So she goes to make an offer to talk to the Sandman, to try to find out how to get a hold of her brother. She gives up the magic stick key, which can light a fire, like anything on fire.
Yeah.
It's like... a book, a river, a soul, so that it will light anything on fire. The sun had all of Sandman's stuff, the helm, the jewel, and the sand, bag of sand, that in Sandman number one, that's what he's trying to find once he gets out. But, so the sun has all that, and he uses that to dream, puts the helm on to dream. So she had also gotten there via, a key that lets you go anywhere. The dad had always been promising the son that he could go
to Egypt.
Egypt and US and everything. Yeah. So she basically uses the key to get him to go visit those so that she could then talks with Sandman, and basically Sandman gives her tells her via imagery.
Yeah, he doesn't say anything. He pulls sand.
Well,
out
just
of
from
it.
The ground where he's sitting, he takes the sand.
No, I thought he pulled it from his body.
Did he? I thought he just picked it from the ground. No, but he rubbed it on the inside of the glass and drew the helm.
Yeah.
So she put the helm on, and then she ends up in the dreaming and dealing with first Abel and then Cain, or whichever order that goes in. I can never remember who's who.
Yeah.
She makes it all the way to the castle, and is talking to somebody. And it turns out that it was actually the Corinthian. So,
that was really
good.
We see the librarian.
Lucian was in the cage.
In a cage.
Yeah. So that was really good. I love that. Having only ever read the first volume of Lock and Key, but having read of all of Sandman multiple times, I thought that was outstanding.
Yeah, that was great. Space Bastards number 4?
Anybody? No, read that? I still haven't read 3. 3's still at home in my stacks.
Okay. This one's really good.
Hijinks ensue.
Yeah, yeah. This book it just continues to get better and better. This one is a lot. I won't get into it. I won't spoil it. But this one, it focuses much more on like corporate espionage, and the portal competitor to the mail service, the intergalactic mail or whatever that's called. They start to have direct conflict, and our heroes get involved in that. So it's really good. I'm definitely digging that book.
Cool.
Pat?
I want to talk about a different Batman book that involves gloves. Batman Scooby-Doo Mysteries.
I was shocked. I went to grab one. I sold out.
Not really?
That was 20 copies of that. I went, let's go nuts.
I read it.
I really enjoyed it. It was a fun little book. Involved time travel, which, you know, fine, whatever, but they go to a museum and they find the original Batman costume, but when they take the purple gloves off, what they find out is they're from 2021 and not the original Batman gloves. So he sends Velma, Shaggy, and Scooby back in time to try to track where these gloves got lost, and
seems like the easiest solution to send go back in time.
Yeah, and then like they found a box that supposedly Batman could open with his voice, but it wasn't working. And what we find out it was because Velma put the gloves in that box and using her voice, so she had to go back or she had to go forward in time in order to be able to open the box. It is not Shakespeare, but it was a fun book.
The funniest thing is at the end, too, they make the point that this team-up that Batman had, I guess it's year one, with Scooby and Shaggy and Scooby-Doo, it gave him the idea that he needs friends,
yeah,
and partners, and that gives him the idea, you know, to have allies such as Robin and Batgirl, etc., etc.
We got a very odd version of Matches Malone in it. When he first confronts him, but it was a fun book. Chariot number 2. Nobody else read that.
Oh yeah, I read
in
that.
My stack. I'm sorry.
Okay. I read it.
So we learn more about who Chariot is, and Chariot has a sister, who can like, I guess, suck the life force out of people and make herself young.
Yeah, because when we first see her, she's like super old.
So, but she's helping Jake, who is the guy that repaired her and found her. She, like, transferred a bunch of money so that he could pay for his kids' treatments. And she's like, stop telling people about me.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, all he wants to do is tell people about her. It's not really Knight Rider.
No.
I actually think it's more, it's a more interesting version of the Scumbag with a much more likable character. But similar. Maniac in New York number 3. Nobody read Maniac in New York number 3. Okay. So this picks up right where we left off, where Harry is on the train killing everybody. There's a scene in there where he just kind of sits down, and you kind of think, you know, what would Jason do after he goes on a rampage? He just kind of he's taking a breather. Excuse me. And then he hears some movement of the lady with the two kids. And the Harry or the Maniac Task Force finds their way onto the train, and when they're talking to the woman, like, "Hey, we're gonna help you. We're gonna get you out." And Harry runs her through with the machete. So,
hate when that happens.
Yeah, this is absolutely a good book for anyone who, like, this is exactly what Jason Takes Manhattan should have been. And it was, you know, just kind of think that this is what happened instead of what we saw. It's much better. Joker number two. Nobody's reading the Joker.
Okay. I'm reading it, I just didn't get to it.
No, that's all right. So, Gordon, he's going to take the case, and he gets Batman to come over, and you know, they have a conversation, and he's like, you know, I need some resources. And so, like, Batman gives him some access to the Bat computer and gets some, like, a phone where he can talk to Batman. But Oracle is listening in, and is like, you know, she basically, you know, he didn't say that he wasn't going to kill the Joker. And then, while they're in the middle of the conversation, Jim says, "Well, Barbara," and it, you know, just kind of shuts everything dead in his tracks, because Batman's looking at him like, this, you know, does he know who I am too? And so Barbara has Commissioner Gordon go over to her apartment, and you know, they're kind of going back and forth. They're talking about how when Jim Jr. died, Commissioner Gordon said that, you know, he was going to bring Batgirl to justice, but did he know it was Barbara? And he's like, "Yeah, that was really unfair for me to say to you." It was a real cool moment where, you know, kind of like, you know, he's the police commissioner. He's not a dummy. Of course, he figured out that it was his daughter. But of course, you know, she doesn't want him to go after the Joker by himself because of everything Joker's done to the family. And then we get more of the Joker this time. We get, like, the probably the last third of the book focuses on the Joker. He's in Belize, and what's going on is there's a this resort he's staying at was built for Nazi war criminals after World War II. And the guy who runs it looks suspiciously like Hitler, just with a different mustache and part of his face missing. It's clearly meant to be Hitler. The Joker apparently killed, like, some high-profile guy, and this guy was like, "Yeah, we can't have that. You can kill people here on the compound, but you can't go off the reservation because then people are going to know what's going on." So the Joker said, "Well, you know, I'm not leaving, but here's what I'll do. If you give me 20 of your men, I've already led a trail of breadcrumbs to help somebody track me here, but, you know, a few miles down the road, we have the high ground, we'll see him coming, and we'll be able to kill whoever's coming after me, and then, you know, the secret will be safe." So, that's kind of where it left off. It's been an interesting book. I don't know if I would have called it The Joker. It's really more of a Gordon book. But it was pretty good. Last one I'll talk about is Scout's Honor number 4.
I read that one.
Okay. I'm glad someone read something. I like this. So Kit, it's an aisle in the open. She's a woman. She was sentenced to death by exile. Mm-hmm. And when she gets out, and there's like a giant, basically a giant spider, giant tarantula or whatever, attacks her, but it's not really attacking her. It's trying to run away from something else. And so she's able to tame it and use it to attack the people chasing her. Then she's injured in the fight. She gets captured by the highwaymen. And she has a conversation with them, basically says, you know, the scouts are, you know, they're screwing you over too. But I know how to stop them, and that's where it ends. There's only one issue left.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's said to be concluded.
Yeah, this is interesting, because she's, like, totally on the other side.
Yeah.
The point of view of this story, on the other side now.
But it's funny, because the scouts are the ones that actually killed the founder of the scouts to begin with.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's trying to stay true to the original ideals. And realizes they weren't following the ideals. They were just trying to, you know, profit for themselves or trying to control people themselves. This has been a real fun book, though.
Yeah, it's real good.
One of my favorite Aftershock books. Actually, it might be my favorite. I don't know. Maniac in New York is also a really good one, but it's been really good. So. Dave, what'd you read?
Good. Black Hammer Visions, number 3. This is a Abraham Slam story written by Chip Zdarsky. I'm not sure if this takes place, but Abraham Slam is retired, and there's a new hero called the Slam, the first state-sponsored superhero. Abraham's retired, but he's like paying attention to the Slam. He does not like how this new hero is using his name, and he uses a gun too. There's one night when they have a scene. It's an obvious homage to Batman's origin with the Slam. This burglar robs this couple and their kid in this alleyway, and the Slam stops the burglar. And then Abraham Slam shows up to fight the Slam and ends up in the hospital. And then there's a big turn of events with the Slam. The Slam is hurt, gets murdered by one of the villains, and Abraham shows up at the funeral and meets an older Golden Gale, who's also tells him she's retired. So it's a good story about growing legacy and growing old and living with yourself. It's really good. Fantastic Four, number 30.
The King in Black tie-in a week after.
Which is a King in Black tie-in. This one maybe
gets better. There's one this week. The Avengers help stop?
Yeah, got the Avengers.
No. They stopped them 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, this one made me kind of mad because Johnny, Ben, and Sky have been nullified, and they're after they're going to 40 Yancey Street after Reed and Sue, and Reed's in the lab trying to figure out build a new defense system for 40 Yancey Street because Ben knows how to get around the codes or whatever. And Spider-Man's in two panels with Reed trying to do this. And then there's a fight, and, you know, the Johnny and Ben, they're spouting all these hurtful comments now that they've been taken over by Null or whatever, about how Franklin is the most useless member of the FF because he doesn't have powers. And Ben tells Reed that he cares more about science than his family. And then all of a sudden it says, to see how this ends, read King in Black number 5.
It came out last week.
So,
hey, you can't plan these things, Colin.
I know.
So I don't know how the story ends, and I'm probably never going to I don't know. Did you read that, Brandon? Were the Fantastic Four even in that issue? That you remember?
Not that I remember.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe a page.
So, yeah, that... it was okay up until the, up until that point where there wasn't really an ending. The Autumnal, number 6, was really good. This is like, this issue had so much momentum and a, like a breakneck pace to it, because Kat, you know, she was, when she was young, she was marked to be sacrificed, and these other kids were killed because she wasn't. And then in this issue, well, she's found out her daughter has now been marked. It's the Autumnal Equinox. And so she goes into action. She goes to the store to pick up some supplies. She goes to a friend's house where her daughter is, Sybil, to pick her up. They get to their house. They board up the walls so no leaves or anything can get in. And that's not working. So they get in the car and they drive out of town. They drive through like a road closed sign. And there's on the last page, there's a bonfire with all the townspeople gathered around it. And they're chanting stuff like, the child has been marked and all this stuff. It was really good. It just had so much momentum throughout the
it's been a really good
really good book. That had to be, I don't know how many issues this is going to be. To be the last issue of like the first arc.
Okay.
You know, mentioned, read the last issue of the Power Pack.
Ooh, how was that? Series.
Oh, it was good. It was good. Ryan North is writing this, and he does a great job of writing these kids, and they seem like kids. This is a good book for all ages. But in the story, the wizard has stolen Power Pack's powers because he was pretending to be another hero, Agent Ether. And they have to figure, Power Pack has to figure out a way to bring the wizard out of hiding so they could try to get their powers back. So they get their buddy Wolverine to stage a fight with Wolverine that's broadcast on the television networks. And they just, like, you know, they don't have any powers, so this, like, they're setting things up so it looks like they have powers in this fight. And the wizard, they get the wizard to come out of hiding and get to his lair so they could trick him into getting their powers back. And it's funny too, throughout the five issues, Katie, the smallest, Katie has been writing this comic book about Power Pack, and they're going to give it to their parents. They pretty much tell their parents, they've revealed themselves to the parents now that their kids are Power Pack. So I hope there's like another series of this, because, like I said, Ryan North did a great job of writing these kids. And that's all I got.
Did you read the last Sweet Tooth today, or are you still not caught up?
I did read the last Sweet Tooth, yeah.
Then what did you think of it? So, I guess basically the series as a whole, what did you think about it?
I don't know.
Like, it didn't really need to be?
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. I don't know if it was worth it or if it added a lot. The only scene I really liked, I liked the scene at the end with, there's a panel at the end with, who was the pig, the little girl who was the pig in the first series?
Oh, yeah, she's there was like, one of the kids had like a doll of her.
Yeah, she had
a
doll of the pig, and Sweet Tooth had this moment of recognition. Yeah. That was a nice little scene. But yeah, I just, I don't know. I don't think it was
yeah,
all that.
I just wondered, because at the end it wasn't that it was bad. It was just like, I don't know if this story.
It wasn't bad. It was just I don't know. Just I don't know if it was worth like doing all going back to that and how perfect that, you know, the original series was.
If you were gonna go back, there could have probably been a different kind of story. You could have done it differently.
Yeah, or maybe a different kind of. I don't know. That's just how I took it. I don't know. But you had the same feeling like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, well.
Especially, too, like, with it just being a mini-series. If it was, like, another longer series.
Yeah.
Because, like, I feel like they just kind of rushed through a lot of stuff. And, you know, it was just, like, a lot of, like, oh, well, that's convenient that happened like that.
They're going to the surface.
Yeah.
At the end. Maybe I'd like to see what happens there, maybe, but
I would have rather seen a story of the of them, like, in the village or whatever. Like, yeah. You know, maybe, like, a, like, old man Gus. Like, you know what I mean? Like, an old man Gus story. Yeah, I think I could have. Could have been cool.
Yeah. That's it, Colin.
Okay, I had to step aside, so I don't know if anybody talked about these. Phantom of the Scan was one from Aftershock. Cullen Bunn, really confusing, especially the beginning. Really confusing. Other than the title of the issue was called Night of the Comet, or something with a comet, so that's the only thing that gives you an idea that something happened. It starts off 10 years ago or 20 years ago or something, and it's like a pregnant couple going to the car, like she's going to the hospital. Then a car crash, but the woman's dressed in a different outfit who's laying outside the car. There's a kid in a hospital bed. It was just really weird. It's like, and then all of a sudden there's this guy who's having trouble, and it, like, all this really weird stuff, and it kind of segues to the main character is talking to, like, some, like, dead spirit kid, and then he goes to talk to his psychiatrist, and the spirit kid says he knows more than he's saying, and all of a sudden the psychiatrist then gives these names, and he, like, psychically reaches out to these people, and they meet in a diner, even though they've never actually talked, and then one guy's head explodes and a creature climbs out. End of issue one. It was like, what? It was really weird. There was a scene where, like, somebody was drowning early on, but it didn't, there was just no context. It was really, really weird. I don't see a lot of people coming back for issue two. And then the last one I read was Superman 30, which I only read because somebody who had dropped Superman after reading the Superman in Action two-parter that could have been done in about 8 pages.
Well, you can't sell 2 books that way.
Well, it was 2-page spreads with, like, 3 words on each spread. It was not good. But I guess it was setting up a lot of stuff because John's worried about Superman dying, and now we know that Superman's going to die.
He already did that.
Yeah, I know. Like, exactly. Yeah, we've been there. Been there, done that before. Yeah.
But especially it's really going to happen this time.
Yeah.
But this one was good in the sense of Superman gets a message calling for help from someone he left a transmitter to years ago. So he and John go off to investigate. And he had gone there before to help this race put down this darkness, like this beast, this almost like a parasite that created darkness. And they put it down, or they thought they put it down, and now it turns out that it didn't. And the one guy that they were helping made a bomb to destroy the thing, and it turns out it was just a containment unit, and now he's released the thing. So it was like a standard superhero.
Sounds like the plot of Ghostbusters.
Well, yeah, kind of. But it was like a standard superhero type, you know, Superman type story. So that in itself was good. So we'll see where that goes. But that was an enjoyable, at least, story. Okay. Hang on one second. Okay. So that's all. Yeah, that's all I read.
Did you read Daredevil?
I did not. I think I'm 2 behind on Daredevil now. I feel bad about that, but I just, my time, like, even this week, the previews order is due tomorrow, so I'm working on the data entry. I was doing good last night, and then I, like, hit a wall. I couldn't stare at the screen anymore. It was only, like, 10 o'clock, but I was whooped. So I get to go home tonight and hopefully finish that up. So, Pat.
What's coming out next week?
Next week we have stuff. From DC, we get Batman Black and White number 5. We have Detective Comics 1035. Robin number 1, the new Robin series, is coming. Ruby Justice League number 1. Not excited about this one, only in the sense of the last Ruby series they did. They chose not to print the final issue. So they did 5 out of 6 issues.
Who's Ruby?
It's some anime online thing.
Does it have a code?
It's RWBY. I don't know. This is Ruby Justly. But I'm like, you just burned all of your fans who bought the first five issues and then you never printed the sixth one.
Yeah.
They either had to buy the trade or get it digitally. I don't see him coming back from this. So, magically, I ordered five. I'm sure there's a code in it and I'm going to... You should order it like Justice League. No, sorry, kid.
So order like Batman and Justice League combined.
Yeah, that's what they're going to tell me. So,
your Batman and Justice League numbers aren't that big right now, are they?
Not that big, no. But I mean, they're more than five. But 20 Fists number one, which is basically like a Fight Club type thing. And the Fight Club type thing, and the problem is,
and it's not that.
No, but then the two gang leaders fall in love. Oh no.
So maybe it is about that.
It could be. Beta Ray Bill number two, Berserker number two, Crossover number six. Now, the thing with Berserker number two, if you buy number two and show me number one, you get a free Something is Killing the Children number one, eighth print. So, while supplies last. Crossover number six, Deja Thoris Winter's End one shot for all my Deja Thoris fan. Department of Truth number eight. I still haven't read seven. Helm Grey Castle number one. This is from Image, one of those fantasy ones. Miles Morales Spider-Man 25, the start of the Miles's clone saga. Modern Frankenstein. Yeah. This is one where Modern Frankenstein. New Mutants 17. Nuclear Family number three. New previews next week. Shadow Doctor number three, which I thought number two was a much better book than number one. Shadow Service number seven. I'm loving that, but I haven't read six yet. I'm so behind. New Shadow Man series from Valiant. Spider-Man Curse of the Man-Thing. First part was Avengers. This one's Spider-Man. The Marvels. Man. Because we just had, Marvel just finished up. Now we have The Marvels. They don't realize how hard this is to search on the Diamond site when you put in Marvel or Marvels.
I don't think they care.
It was as bad as when you had to search for The Boys and saw a lot of stuff you didn't want to see.
Wasn't it like Marvel's X or something, too?
Yeah, yeah. And then X-Men Legends number three. So,
and Marvel's just in a bunch of titles.
Yeah.
Like Marvel's.
Well, then we had Marvel Snapshots. Yeah, we had Marvel's Women of Marvel. So, it's not a great term to try to search for. So previews orders are due by the time you hear this. Get your orders in because I'm feverishly working.
AWA month.
AWA month ends next week, but
might not have any books.
Yeah, I looked over there and their entire shelf was cleared off. We still have the little display, so there's still those.
There's some bare spots on that though, too.
Yeah, so that's good. People are trying them for $10. It's worth a shot.
Yeah, I'd be getting some except for I've got every
Yeah, you already
issue.
Read the
yeah.
issues, yeah. So I think that's about all we got. Facebook is PittsburghComics.com, or website's PittsburghComics.com, Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics, Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. Pat is pulling up a lot of stuff out of the basement, so you will be seeing more pictures.
Not me, Dave.
No, the other Pat. I think that's all we got. Dave, send us home.
That's a podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.